Welcome to the Conversations Podcast. We are kicking off a new series. Haven't said that in a while, but we are kicking off a new series called Life to the Full, based on John 10:10. And I am joined by two special guests and friends. First, we're joined by lead pastor Jose.
Good to be here,
Jose,
Taylor.
Good to have you back. And we're joined by one of the newest team members. She's been on the podcast, though, several times and usually hosts when she's here, but she's
a
guest.
It? Who is it?
It's Annie Ward. Annie, welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, Taylor. Thanks.
It's great to have you. Jose, we kicked off a new series. It was a special Sunday, and special I know I use Sunday. That quite a lot, but this really felt like a special Sunday. Kicked off a new series, had Dr. Kelly and his wife Beth Danfus in on stage, and so would love to hear your thoughts on just everything about Sunday, the prep leading up to it, a little behind the scenes, and kind of what God did through the week.
I have a note on my phone with all of my series thoughts, and anyway, I won't go into that. The point is that I was thinking about the summer. We just got out of a long series in Matthew, and I thought, what is a quick hit, if you will, before the summer hits, that we can really talk about what's most important? And this verse is widely quoted. We talk about it often, that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to bring us life, and life to the full, or life abundantly, depending on the version that you're reading. And this full life doesn't mean great vacations and luxury and abundance of material possessions or wealth or even health. It means love and joy and hope and peace and living freely and generously. And so that's where that's the perspective, how Jesus truly lives us to live this life to the full. And then I had the opportunity to invite President Kelly Danfus, and look, he is impressive for so many reasons, and one of the things that impresses me the most is how he lives. He lives so authentically as a follower of Christ. He lives so authentically as a leader of a very, very large organization with 40-plus thousand students, including thousands of faculty. He's just so real, and there's something freeing about his presence, not only him, but he and Beth live this life together. So I'm going on, but you know, we had college seniors graduating, so it all ended up lining up perfectly. And that's another lesson in and of itself, how God just seems to line things up in the perfect way at the perfect time. And he's really good at that. So yeah, it was a special Sunday for sure.
Very special. I think something that I know many people know your story, Jose, as far as you being saved at Texas State, but Texas State's a special place for our church, not only the place where Crosswalk started in 1994, as you shared, but also so many of us on staff, including the three of us, were Bobcats and were through, and went through at Texas State. And so I just think that that's something that is also special, because for many of us, this is our college. This is our alma mater. And so to see the president there. Annie, would love to just hear your thoughts quickly on just kind of your how Sunday went for you, and just even what this means being here.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed Sunday. I got to sit at all three services to hear the three different interviews, and they really different. Did feel like three different. I mean, in the nutshell, they covered the same material, but the stories and the way that they interwove their life, and it changed just a little bit every service. Mm-hmm. And so it was really a joy to watch. And actually, my college roommate, she and I are still very close, for she's my best friend. She lives in Tulsa. And during the last service, I texted her and I was like, hey, the president of Texas State's at our church, and she live streamed it from Tulsa.
Awesome.
And she only got to watch like 10 or 15 minutes.
And two of your other roommates were there too.
That's right.
One visiting from Colorado, and the other one
is your wife.
Is my wife.
Yes, exactly. So there is a big group of us that I think are very excited, knowing that we have a believer running our campus, that we have been we came from people, the generations before us, who are specifically praying for Texas State. We prayed for Texas State and still do. And, you know, I can see that God is just has listened, and he has answered prayers, and he has just worked mightily on that campus. And I'm so grateful that there's a believer who is spearheading that direction.
And he did such a great job talking about how he postures his faith. And one of the things that stuck out to me the most, which was great for me to hear, but even more convicting, I think, for anybody with another position. Remember when he said, and I think he said this at all three, that he doesn't want anybody to be surprised at the fact that he's a Christian. And so he wants to be the same person on Sunday as he is Monday through Saturday, both in his personal life, but also in his professional life. That is bold leadership, but he does so with grace. sensitivity. He doesn't do it like in your face. That means that I have an agenda and I won't love you unless you agree with me, because that's not our responsibility. Mm-hmm. Our responsibility is just to be true to who we are in Christ, worship him by the way that we live our lives, and then allow that to be a blessing and add value to others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what a message just for even the seniors, the college seniors in the room to hear, as many of them, it's their last Sunday before graduation, or even just for other students there that are going to go home for the summer. And so, Annie, just as you were sharing, that's so cool to think about, because I remember hearing of people praying for my generation in school, and then God is very much on the move. And even on Sundays, at all three gatherings, you can look around and see Texas State students that are on fire for God, that are leaning in, that are growing. And so it just was a neat way to kind of cap off that college year. The message itself was focused on this idea. Again, Jose, you kind of queued it up earlier about John 10:10, and even the passage leading up to that. One of the key questions you kind of asked early on was this kind of dichotomy between, is my life full or am I fully living? And based on that, again, that John 10:10 passage, I'd love to hear y'all's personal takes on those questions. And even just on the podcast here, we get time to kind of talk practically. So what are maybe times where some of this seems pretty simple, but what are the areas and times where you realize, okay, my life is full, but I'm not fully living? And then what does it look like to kind of pivot in those seasons or in those moments to be able to really fully live?
I think that where it lands for me is I am fully living when I am fully present. So when I am truly in the moment, we're here talking, I'm speaking to you, I want to be here, I'm happy to be here, I'm glad that we're doing this, I'm not distracted, I'm not thinking about the other things, I'm not spending time on my phone while I'm talking with you, even though I have the scriptures in my notes here from Sunday. That's fully living. And I often miss that when my schedule is full, or when my days are full, or whether I'm thinking about what I'm doing next or what I didn't do yesterday and I need to catch up on. And so that's the feeling of overwhelm that keeps me from being fully present. Jesus lived fully present. He spoke to everybody that was in front of him. And even when he was running late, Jairus's daughter, Lazarus, and these people died, I mean, he still stayed calm. He had a plan. He raised both of them up from the dead. But that is a great model for us to be fully present, not worried about what happened yesterday or what will happen tomorrow. And it's a struggle because we live very fast lives, very busy lives. So being present is it for me.
I agree wholeheartedly. And there's this really interesting thing that's been happening. It's probably been happening longer than I've realized, but I'm just more aware of it now. And I can sense the Holy Spirit on my every day, depending on what time of day it is, bring to mind whatever it is that I need to take care of next. Mm. And it just has shown me that I have so much freedom in my day. And instead of not that a to-do list is bad, but hyper-focusing on my to-do list, allowing it to wake me up in the middle of the night, which still happens, but I've really worked. Well, the Lord has really shown me a lot of the ways to get that stress to kind of alleviate. And it's taken away that pressure of what is it that I need to be doing, because he brings exactly to mind what's next.
Yeah.
And then if something gets in the way or something happens, he works it out, you know? And I don't have to carry all of that extra burden of my busyness because the Holy Spirit is showing me. And on top of that, though, I also have had to learn that there are things that I should say yes to, and then there are things that I should say no to. And that's across the board for me and my kids and even my husband. I was about to say the gatekeeper, but I don't mean it in the sense of Jesus. I mean it in the sense of my family.
You need to protect that time.
And
absolutely.
I'm in charge of their schedules and I'm in charge. And so I'm the one who gets to and really it's the Holy Spirit through me showing me how to navigate that in my family and like what to say no to. And sometimes it's hard to say no to things that I really like I should do. Or things that I want to do.
Yeah.
But in the long run, it's really what's best for
it's everyone.
It's freeing. It is.
Yeah. What I love there, and Taylor, I want to hear where you want to take us, that's God being your shepherd. Mm-hmm. He's guiding you. He's in front of you. You're listening to his voice. And what really struck me in this passage is there's two voices here. There's the voice of the shepherd that's guiding us, that's leading us, that is faithful, that knows what's best for us. And then there's the stranger voice. Mm-hmm. That's who the thief is actually in the context. Mm-hmm. And it is a devil, but it also speaks to people that are living on their own and not trying to get in through other ways and not going through Jesus. And so it's the world. It's the way that the world works. My way is best, or what I want to do, versus submitting ourselves to the shepherd's way and listening to the shepherd's voice.
How do y'all know? I know this seems like a simple question, but how do you know whose voice is whose, as far as like in the worlds, as far as when you're maybe just in your day to day, what you're scrolling through, what you're consuming, what you're reading? I mean, scripture tells us that we will know, what we can discern kind of the voice, but how do we practically, what does that actually look like? And how do you know, this is not of God, or this is of God? And did that get easier the longer you're following God?
All right. Yeah. I'm getting a look. So I'll go first. The thing for me, John 15 says it, that if you abide in him. So if I'm spending time with God, if I am holding on to the promises of Scripture, I'm talking about me as a person. I'm not talking about the role of a pastor to preach and teach, to care for people. I'm talking about believing this for myself. If I don't take time to allow his truth to be real in my mind and in my heart, that I am loved, that I live out of a place of already being accepted, approved. I don't need to do anything for God because he's already done everything for me. So in light of what he's done for me, I now step into whatever he has. If I don't do that, that's when the stranger's voices creep in. Anxiety, you won't be good enough. You won't be able to do that. Who do you think that you are? All of those voices that are just not the voice of God. And so promises of Scripture, talking to good friends that love me, that know who I am, that's how I'm reminded of the truth.
And I would, yeah. And also, you know, that still small voice is echoed a couple times through Scripture, of like knowing that God is constantly with us, but oftentimes he's the quieter voice. He's the one who's consistent, but the one that oftentimes is overlooked whenever all of the things are happening. So the quietness of God's voice, and particularly in this season of life and being a mom and having kids and talking with other moms. And there are a lot of decisions that, you know, from my perspective, as moms are making specifically, and I've been able to share this phrase with multiple people because it has been really important for me, is as you're making decisions, as things come up, am I going to do this or that? Am I going to do homeschool or public school? Am I going to, what am I supposed to do? And the phrase that has come up over and over again is follow the peace.
Yeah.
Because whenever you're listening to God's voice, even if it's quiet, and whenever you're just trying to decipher, is this my voice? Is this God's voice? Is this the enemy? And the peace is really what solidifies it for me. That whenever I move forward with a decision and it's full of peace, even if it's different than what people around me are making, as long as it's scriptural and you know what I mean, I'm not saying make any choice, but something like that, homeschool or public school, all of these little decisions that
we're working
making,
that out with God.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you're finding
doesn't only just
peace.
Feel good.
Exactly.
It's affirmed by God's Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is self-explanatory too. That's what results when you abide in Christ. Mm-hmm. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Apart from these, there is no law.
I also would say to your point too, that it is easy. It's for me has gotten easier as I've moved forward in my faith, as I've gotten older. It's easier to hear his voice because I've heard it over and over, and I know what it sounds like.
I love those truths. I think about just even, Annie, what you're talking about earlier with your family, where there's a lot of good choices. So sometimes you think, oh, well, it's just good versus evil. Which one am I going to pick? But a lot of times it's a lot of open doors. It's a lot of neat or potential opportunities out there. And so it's discerning that. And I was about to say that exact same thing about peace. There have been very chaotic moments that I have felt the peace of God. And there's been very still moments that I have been so anxious or so fearful because I myself am trying to either take control or try to do it on my own. And I'm listening to the enemy's voice. I'm listening to the stranger's voice. And that can be, again, just even in my own flesh, as far as those doubts, like you mentioned, Jose, like, am I good enough? Or, you know, they're not going to live up to someone's expectations, or, you know, there's all these things that can kind of come up in that. And so I love that y'all talked through that. And this idea of just going through it, or it's getting easier over time. I'd love to hear both of y'all actively involved in community groups. You've been involved in community ever since the Texas State days through Crosstalk. So even what is the value, Jose, you mentioned it a little bit about it, but the role of community and just fellowship with believers in helping discern and then just even helping stay faithful in this abundant life.
Yeah, thinking about President Kelly being with us, it did bring me back his story sharing about it took him a while to get there, and it took me a while to get there, and it was people that surrounded me continually, never gave up on me. Most importantly, we questioned together in many ways. We had a question about the Bible, or we had a question about this or that, and we worked it out together. So it wasn't in siloed. The Bible app had just come out. I had a BlackBerry. And so I remember reading, I still have the highlights because I created my Bible app, you know, login from those years. And it was, the Bible was so accessible, though. It became accessible, truly. I mean, you can put a Bible in your pocket, not just a New Testament, like the one that Kelly talked about, the little one, but in my phone. And so through reading the scriptures with other people, I'm just so thankful that people had the patience, the grace, and the curiosity to help me grow in my faith.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I also think that, I've been thinking a lot about this, and I'm curious if there are people listening who might have this question, is that the three of us have a very, very big advantage to the sense that we serve on a church. And so we're surrounded, really, on our staff and on Sunday mornings, we're surrounded by other believers. And there are people out there that don't have that scenario, that they work in places or maybe are even in families or maybe even a living situation where they are really kind of, that might feel like they're on their own, and which is not true. And I think that just remembering, for me, I really have to step back and remember and think about that the church is designed to have this flowing in and flowing out scenario system, where those who are full, who are filled with the Spirit, who have that, have a lot of people pouring into them, then need to. I mean, it sounds like an extreme statement, but they really need to pour out, because there are those who don't have this, who aren't living this right now. And then on top of that, those who are pouring out so much and are feeling exhausted because they're giving so much of themselves, they need to find people to pour into them. And if someone is not participating in that, then there's going to be someone who's not receiving, or someone who's not giving, and it's just so necessary. And I've experienced it. I've had seasons of all of those when I feel alone. I've seasons when I've poured out too much and I've needed to, you know, rejuvenate with the Lord. I've had seasons where so much is pouring into me and I haven't been pouring into someone else. And it all works so beautifully together whenever we're following the Spirit, you know. And there are seasons, you know, like there are seasons where that's going to look different, you know, and just have grace with yourself.
Yeah. I like this whole input output idea, and you can only give what you have received. And we receive that from the Lord, but we also receive it from others. And I completely agree that we have an advantage. In fact, that's why we're doing this podcast. That's why we do everything. I mean, as a church, we do that for the benefit of others. We do that to pour out, to give. Everything that we do, we want to be an offering to the Lord, but for other people. It's actually tied to a verse that I read it, it was amazing, I wrote it down, and then it came out in the message, and it's David's leadership. Mm. When he realized his why God had placed him as king. It says this in 2 Samuel 5, "Then David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel and had exalted his kingdom for the sake of his people." So basically, David had a position for the sake of others. He had a title so that he can pour out and protect and shepherd. Right. I mean, what he did with the sheep before he was even king, that scaled all the way up for him to be king. We have a president on that campus that has that same posture, and it's such a gift. And we, as the church, we want to have that same posture for the sake of others, those that believe and those that don't believe yet. We want to be an arm that extends out, that reaches out, that says, hey, we're here for you if you have a need. We want to do our best to help you with that need. And that's what the body of Christ should do until Jesus returns. That's the Great Commission.
And one of his big points that he made every service was that he said a layperson, which makes me smile because I grew up Southern Baptist, and that's a very Southern Baptist term. But, you know, someone, congregant.
Like laying down, like someone that's laying down?
Like someone who's attending church, someone who is a part of the body, but not necessarily standing on a stage, that they have an opportunity to reach people that, you know, a pastor might not.
Oh, and, yep. That's
and
so
it's
true.
So important. And like, you know, and those
when,
experiences.
When we speak, it's like Charlie Brown. It's so true.
Also said it's, that at all three gatherings.
Yeah, it's so true though, because yes, sometimes did. Because of my position and title, I don't know if you guys have felt this way, but I don't have credibility because there is an agenda that's assumed even before, you know, people say that Christians judge, everybody judges. it goes both ways. And so that's something that is so true.
I think back, both of y'all said this, but I think back to Jose, what you shared about just how you, thinking back to college, I have these memories too, where you're kind of all digging in together and you're kind of reading. And then Annie, just in that, in the relationships that we all had, I do think a common part in all that is there was an intentionality. It wasn't like we were each other's projects, but it was like there was an intentionality to the conversation that I think is rare, because a lot of times you can kind of small talk your way. You get around the people that are most, you know, like you. We talked about that even last week as far as people that are like you or most like you. And so I think that that's a big piece that we're talking through. And again, that Kelly models from his position, but allows and empowers all of us to be like, hey, no, God has given us a platform, regardless of where it is, regardless of who it's around. So even going, circling back, Annie, to your question about this role of community, I think it's not just, hey, finding kind of some fellow friends and kind of going that, but also recognizing, okay, what is the mission that we're on together? I think about community groups and how the mission of growing deeper and then also inviting others in and multiplying, like all of that is getting a chance to be alongside a group for a cause, and not just to kind of, you know, holy huddle, or there's different kind of phrases for that, but just that we have a mission to be a part of and what God's doing through this church. Like, it's not just, hey, we have some volunteer spots we need to fill, and so let's make it happen. It's like, no, God is on the move and clearly is doing that not only on the college campus at Texas State, but just even through all generations in our church. And so there's this exciting opportunity for us to jump in and be a part of that and to live in that way that's missional. I think something I'd maybe take a turn for, and that you alluded to when you talked to Beth and Kelly, was just the idea that it's great to kind of get this rallying cry. You know, the Danfuses come on Sunday and it's like, that's great, let's run through a wall. I'm energized and ready to go. But there are going to be those setbacks. There are going to be those trials. And even just as believers that are plugged in and connected, there's going to be times where you get hurt, or there's going to be times where you're disappointed, or you had an idea and, you know, it's, you know, gone in a different direction. And so how do y'all continue to kind of work through those? Because it's one just to be in the game when it's exciting to be in the game, but it's another story to be in the game and being faithful when it doesn't look very hopeful and rosy and promising.
I think I'm so grateful that they were vulnerable in sharing what they're going through as a family. And I loved Beth's answer. She said, look for the blessings. There are blessings everywhere if you just have eyes to see. So if we start thinking that God is not a good shepherd, but that God is a shepherd that wants us to struggle, then that's a concern. But Psalm 23 is very clear that he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death, where we will fear no evil. Why? Because he's with us. He will comfort us. It may not look the way that we want it to look like, but that's who he is. So knowing that those hard times are going to come, we're able to look at the blessings.
And I think that whenever you're in the middle of it, it's sometimes difficult to see past or even to hear something like that, like trying to find a blessing in the middle of something that's really difficult. But I can think back on scenarios and really, honestly, Bob Moss comes to mind. He's our pastor of spiritual formations, and his perspective has really shifted my focus. And I'm realizing that like everything that we're doing, every step we're taking is an adventure with God. And sometimes those adventures are going to seem more bleak, but at the end of the day, and I think that this is something that I still grapple with, you know, in those times of desperation or fear, but at the end of the day, we have an adventure, not only with Jesus in this life, but in the next life. Like, there's nothing that can happen to us in this life that could hurt us, because even if death comes, we get to move on to the next part of
adventure.
Our life,
which
a next adventure. And I know that there are really seasons when thinking about it like that. Adventure with God is very difficult. But at the same time, I just think that I love that perspective. Even in the darkest days, it's still an adventure with God.
So good. That's so good. Jose, we're just kicking off this series, and so would love to hear your thoughts as you look ahead and what's to come.
Yeah, living life to the full. I'm excited to continue to go through this chapter, see its implications. Next week, we're going to celebrate Mother's Day, and so we're going to be talking about something really important for us to live full lives, and that is living joyfully. Can't wait for that conversation.
Thanks for listening to the Conversations podcast. Be a part of the conversation by sending questions about the Sunday message directly from ccc.guide or by emailing conversations@cypresscreekchurch.com. See you back for the next conversation.